I wonder how many of you have traveled to be with family are here tonight. Go ahead, you can raise your hand. We do that here, even when we're singing sometimes. No, it's all right. All right, keep them up. And who's going to travel maybe tomorrow or the next day? You're going to travel to see family. Okay, it's a fair amount. It's a fair amount. Even if you're not with extended family, right, I'm guessing at some time you've done that. Right? Everybody in the family made a special effort to come together, and you had a whole house full of family members there. Now, my observation is this. There seems to be a universal rule that there are two specific kinds of individuals that most every family has in them, right? The first one is the relative everyone tries to avoid. You know what I'm talking about. They've got a different personality, or they've got something quirky about them that just makes you uncomfortable, so everybody tries to avoid them. Now, judging by the looks on your face, you're thinking of someone right now. Now, if you're not thinking of someone, well, then perhaps your family's the exception. There is, of course, another explanation possible. The second individual that I think that most every family has is he who shall not be named. It's the black sheep of the family, right? It's the person that in their past or in their current lifestyle that for some reason we just don't talk about that individual. And if a child innocently asks about them, we quickly change the subject matter. They're the skeletons in our closet. Right? There are those that have a checkered past. Even Jesus' family has a checkered past. This Jesus who was born of Mary, whose birth we celebrate today, he's got skeletons in the closet, and he's got more than just one individual in his lineage that have what we would call a checkered past. You see, Jesus is the Son of God, but he is also the son of sinners. And that's the message that I have for you tonight, and this is what I'm hoping that you'll take with you, and it's this. Jesus has a checkered past because he came for those with a checkered past. He's got a checkered past because he came for people who have a checkered past. Let's take a look at Jesus' family tree. Actually, we look to the gospel writer Matthew. Matthew, when he sat down to write his history of the life of Jesus, he began with his genealogy. Now, I know today genealogies are pretty popular. People are looking into their ancestors and trying to figure out who their great-great-grandfather was. But in first century AD, for a Jewish person, your family line, your genealogy, was of supreme importance. You wanted to know what tribe did you come from and what family name did you descend from. So Matthew, he considers it so important. Chapter 1, verse 1, he says this. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Wow, he comes out with the big guns there. He traces Jesus back to David. Now, for a first century Jewish person, David is the quintessential leader of the nation. He is the king. David is the one that put him on the map. David is the one that established the kingdom that they have. So, to be in line with David, this was a big deal. Even the gospel writer Luke, who's not writing to Jewish people, he calls it out that he was from the house and lineage of David. So even outside of the Jewish nation, David is well known. But then Matthew takes a sharp right turn, and all of a sudden he's got some shocking revelations. Certainly for a first century person reading the genealogy, they would have been taken aback. And he starts by doing this. He introduces four women into his genealogy. Now, for you and I, we say, well, what's the big deal? Again, let's go back in time. And at that time that he wrote this, genealogies were all paternal. You just listed the fathers. So anyone reading it who saw the name of four women would go, oh, that's intentional. Matthew's trying to make a point by pointing to these individuals. And then when you consider that these four individuals have what some might consider a checkered past. He starts out with Tamar. Tamar, she conceived her child by deceiving the father, and it's a rather sordid affair that you can read about in the book of Genesis. And then we go to Rahab. Rahab, well, her chosen occupation was she was a prostitute. And she was in Jericho, right? But she hid the spies so her family was safe. But that's in the genealogy, right? Now, the next one, really, Ruth. There's really nothing bad about Ruth. It's really not a checkered past. It's just the fact that, well, she's a Moabite, and for whatever reason, Israelites don't like Moabites. I don't know, the Hatfields and McCoys. But at any rate, but he ends with Bathsheba. But he's rather coy about how he puts it, because he lists her as Uriah's wife. You see, he's bringing back to mind, you remember David, the great king? Yeah. Well, he has an affair with Bathsheba, and then has her husband Uriah killed. What a sordid affair in the Old Testament. Talk about skeletons in the closet. He's got a past that is pretty checkered. And then on top of all of that, all four of them are Gentiles. Now again, so what? First century Jew? No, you don't marry outside of us, right? So Jesus' genealogy, it's checkered to be sure. And that's Matthew's point. See, Matthew shines a light on this, and he has a purpose. His purpose is this: Jesus has a checkered past because he came for those with a checkered past. And Matthew would be keenly aware of that because Matthew has his own checkered past. Now, Matthew was a disciple of Jesus, but before that, he was a tax collector. Now, we don't really think all that kindly of IRS agents, but you can multiply that by 10 for when Matthew was a tax collector, because essentially, they just extorted money out of people. They had no friends. Nobody wanted to associate with them, and yet Jesus chose Matthew as one of his disciples. In fact, Jesus chose fishermen, not Pharisees. He chose sinners, not Sadducees. On more than one occasion, the religious leaders of the day would ask his disciples and others, so why is Jesus eating with so-called sinners? Why is he hanging out with the wrong crowd over there? Till finally, Jesus answered them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Jesus said this, "For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus said, I didn't come for folks that think that they've got it all together and they've got all the answers and they don't do anything wrong. I came for sinners. I came for those who are hurting. He said, I came for those with a checkered past. See, Jesus has a checkered past because Jesus came for those with the checkered past. That means Jesus came for me. Maybe it's not as sordid as the stuff we read about in the Old Testament, but you think about some of the things that maybe I've said or that I've done that I regret, that I'm ashamed of. You know what? I don't have to think back 10 years. I don't have to think back 1 year. I don't even need to think back last week. I could just think about the thoughts and the words that I had for the jerk who was tailgating me when I came here today. I almost brake-checked him. I didn't. All of us, to some degree or another, have a checkered past. We've had fits of anger. We've had lustful thoughts. We've had things that we're not proud of. We've done things that we're ashamed of. And we're not even scratching the surface of those thoughts and actions that we hope and we pray that no one ever finds out about us, because all of us, to a person, has a checkered past. But that's why Jesus came. That's why he was born of Mary. That's why he has such a lineage, because Jesus has a checkered past, because he comes for those with a checkered past. He came for you, and he came for me. Remember the words of the angels to the shepherds. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Who is it that is born? What is this child that lays in a manger? It is a Savior. It is the one that would redeem God's people, the one that would restore our relationship with God in heaven. And he is Christ. Sometimes in our Western way of thinking, we get confused. We think that's his last name. It's a title. Christ means Messiah. It means the anointed one. That this baby is the anointed one of God that would lead his people. But he is the Lord. He's not just the anointed part-time king, but he is God himself. Jesus is one of a kind. He's fully human. He matured in Mary's womb, and he was born into this world just like we were. But he is also divine. He is the Lord. He's the only one that can be our Savior. As a man, he could stand in for all of mankind. As God, he could be perfect in every way, flawless, obedient to the Father, whatever he asked. All of this is wrapped in swaddling clothes. For we know that this baby will grow up to be a man. And as a man, one day his own creation will turn against him, and they'll nail him to a cross. But there on the cross, although he's innocent, he'll be declared guilty. Though he's sinless, the sins of all mankind will be put on him. And though he doesn't deserve to die, he'll die for all of us, only to be raised up 3 days later to declare a victory. A victory that says, your sins are forgiven, and important for today, your past is forgotten. The skeletons in the closet, the checkered past, it is wiped clean in the blood of Jesus. That's what today means. That's what we celebrate. This is the birth that we're talking about. The unique God-man Jesus, the one who's born of Mary, the one who's born into a family that has some skeletons in the closet, but that's the point. And that's the point that I want you to take with you today. And I wonder, one last time, but this time, would you say it with me? And you can do better than the first services because they were all kind of wimpy about it, all right? So say it with gusto like you believe it. Jesus has a checkered past because he came for those with a checkered past. He came for you, my friends, and he came for me, and he came for that odd family member. And he came for those whose name shall not be said, the black sheep of the family. He came for all people. For today who was born is a Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, into our world. Lord Jesus, how can we express the gratitude in our hearts that you would leave heaven, that you would take on flesh and blood for eternity? You'd lay down your life for us, and now we pray that you would reign in our hearts so that we would know that our sins are forgiven and the past is forgotten. It's in your name we pray. Amen.